All right, we're live. It's the Android Headlines Show, episode 95. You guys, I'm so excited tonight. We've got Stefan Karuvi with us from Yahoo. He is a senior director of engineering at Yahoo, working on their mobile apps. So Yahoo Weather, you know, all the Yahoo mobile apps. Let me back up just a little bit. I'm so excited I'm getting ahead of myself. My name's Jeremiah. And Nick did just make it. Nick, I know you were having some technical issues here. So
yeah, so I'm finally here. Sorry about that.
So we're also joined by Nick. But, you know, star of the show, the reason that we're bringing the show to you tonight is Stefan. Stefan, thank you so much for your time this evening and sitting down and talking to us for a little bit.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I'm really excited.
Yeah, we are too. So I don't want to kind of tell your story too much, but kind of give us a little bit of your background and kind of your journey to where you are now, you know, as a senior director of engineering at Yahoo.
Sure. So I worked for Microsoft many, many years. I had the opportunity to work on enterprise and consumer products. Consumer is really my passion, for sure. I worked on set-top boxes, mobile devices, applications, frameworks, services. It was a good journey at Microsoft. And then I decided to join Yahoo for a lot of opportunities. And at Yahoo, I am part of the mobile and emerging products, also known as MEP. And there, I run engineering for several mobile applications, including our beautiful weather app.
Excellent, excellent. And that was, you know, kind of in preparing for the show tonight, I'm really excited to kind of find out, you know, some of the differences between Microsoft and Yahoo. And yeah, you were at Microsoft for a number of years, and like you said, you worked on some consumer products and some enterprise stuff, and now working more directly with apps at Yahoo. What are, you know, kind of some of those differences between what you see at Yahoo now and from when you were at Microsoft?
Sure. So at Microsoft, I had a really, really good good journey. I had a lot of opportunities. It was really, really fun. At Yahoo, the way, you know, it's a large company, not as large as Microsoft, but it's fairly large with over 12,000 employees. The way the company is structured at Yahoo allows engineers and designers and product managers to really collaborate efficiently and be really on top of their game. On top of that, we have the opportunity to release applications really, really fast. Within Yahoo, we move at a really, really fast pace, really intense. And there's a lot of adrenaline rush over there. It's a really, really good. So far, it's been a blast.
Yeah, and you know, we've heard that before, that Yahoo has really kind of fostered this collaborative environment where, like you said, engineers and designers are able to work together. Even teams that are, you know, working on different projects, if there's an area where they can collaborate and work together, Yahoo makes it really easy
totally.
for you to do that. And you know, you've been with Yahoo since about the middle of 2011. Is that right?
Yeah, it's almost 4 years now.
Okay. Yep. And Yahoo's gone through some pretty big changes, you know, in that time frame. Now we talk about the differences between Microsoft and Yahoo, but there's some pretty big differences between Yahoo 4 years ago and Yahoo now. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Sure, I can elaborate a bit more. So the biggest change I witnessed was making the company mobile first. You know, when Marissa came on board, we had 37 mobile engineers, you know, product managers, just people working mobile, 37. Now we have over 550 people. So to me, that's a major, major turnover, major change in how we're approaching mobile. And that's really I'm glad I was privileged to witness that shift. That's been amazing so far.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a big increase in like you said, in the focus of what Yahoo is doing. They're not only presenting to consumers, the change, but they're obviously on the back end. They have to hire more people to handle that and make those things happen. So you mentioned the shift to mobile, and we've seen that in the acquisitions of, Aviate, even Tumblr to an extent. Yeah, that was a pretty big purchase. what kind of changes have you gone through, with the Yahoo Weather team?
So I'd say, with the new weather team, or any team in particular, actually, you really want to push yourself. You want to really inspire and delight your users with whichever way possible. So this is, when we talk about changes, like how do we accomplish certain things differently? So right now, world work, it's open floor plan. Everybody sits together. We grab marker, we brainstorm, we work at really good pace, and there's a lot of good talent and creativity involved here in how we design products. So this is not so much changing team, it's just the culture is really flourishing. It's an amazing culture in the company right now.
Okay. Yeah, it definitely sounds like it. What other apps have you worked on at Yahoo?
So I worked on Messenger and email.
Okay. Excellent. And then, so now you're exclusively working on the Yahoo Weather app?
Is one of the applications that I manage.
Okay.
But right now I'm deeply, deeply focused on the Yahoo Weather app.
Okay. Yeah, the Yahoo Weather app is absolutely beautiful.
It's the only one that I use, so.
Perfect. Yeah. It's my favorite app, actually. I use it every time. I even put the widget on my home screen.
Yep, same here.
I really like it, of course.
And I know, Nick, you're kind of a bit of a photo buff. The photos in the Yahoo Weather app are absolutely gorgeous. Those are pulled from Flickr.
Yep.
How do you guys pick those photos?
So a good question, actually. As you noticed, in order for us to pull off what we did with the weather application, you need really high quality photographic image, representation of the current condition, the location. And so what we've done actually, we have a Flickr group called Project Weather. And whether you are a professional photographer or an amateur, the beauty of the digital imaging revolution is you can use a point and shoot, you can use a digital SLR. And so what people do is actually submit pictures in the Project Weather group. And we have a talented team of curators, and their goal is to surface the highest quality images that specifically match the weather conditions. We want to show the most beautiful representation of each location. So our team takes the time to review each individual photo. On top of that, we look at a few factors. How do we determine whether the image is relevant to what we want to do? And how is it going to impact the user experience? How can it benefit the user experience? So we looked at are people in the background? What's the focal point of the image? We have to make sure the image reflects the condition, the day, night, clear, cloudy, rain, snow, fog, snow, for instance. We make sure there's no watermark, no signatures. We do give credit to the photographer, and every photo has the attribution there.
So let's see some other stuff. I've been using the Yahoo Weather app for quite a while now. So I'm trying to remember the last time we had an update was with the graphics, right? The live graphics whenever you have like rain or snow or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys have more plans to do stuff like that?
So, you know, I can't really share specifics of what we're going to do with the weather application.
Sure.
What I'll tell you, though, is the visual effects have been really well received, and we're really focusing on creating the best-in-class experiences. You know, we want to inspire, we want to entertain users, and like I said, you know, those effects are only seen right now in the video game industry, and those are really state-of-the-art reflection of how the user is going to feel the weather, not just see the weather, but feel the weather.
And then let's see. I don't necessarily want. I guess we could tie in some other stuff too, like Aviate, for instance. I know we had JBQ on here a little while ago. Oh, there we go. There's Jeremiah back.
Yeah. Hey. Sorry about that. We have a fantastic track record with Google Hangouts. It's a quite a lovely application, and it quite regularly acts crazy on us. So this is not new, unfortunately, for anybody who's watched the Android Headline Show. So I apologize there. Hangouts just kicked me out. So, Sivan, I apologize. What did I miss?
I was just talking to him about I was going to ask him about other things like AV. I know we had JBQ on, so I wasn't sure what kind of integration I was going to ask was what they were working on with different things, like they had the apps integrating with one another.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's, you know, weather integrating with Flickr to pull those images.
Yep.
And so, yeah, that's a great question.
Okay, sure. So the segue was really, you know, we use Flickr as the sourcing of images. Flickr had over 10 billion images. So as far as, like, Aviate, how does it impact Yahoo? What the benefit we get from Yahoo? And how do we use that within the weather app or, you know, the communication there? So, you know, our acquisition is of twofold every time. You know, we have a strategic part of it. We have also the way we're looking for top talents to bring to the company. And the great thing about Yahoo is how efficiently and diligently we work across functional organizations. And so you can, you know, we really demonstrate Yahoo commitment to mobile. And our goal, again, is to really make sure our users' favorite daily habits are more delightful and inspiring. And the way the company is structured, again, allows us to do just that.
Yeah, and I shouldn't be surprised, but it's really cool to me to hear you're basically saying the same thing that Will and JBQ said, you know, that you guys are, the environment that Yahoo has built is exciting for you guys to work in, because everything works so well together and the people work well together. And the focus is such right now on mobile and making those apps really great, really focused on the user experience. So yeah, it's really cool to hear.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're, you know, unified here. It's like we really, really work well across teams. There's no boundaries. It's an amazing experience.
Yeah, yeah. So with the Yahoo Weather app, before we move on to other things here, what, you know, what are you guys working on with that now? What features are coming and kind of, what's coming new with the Yahoo Weather app?
I kind of asked him that while you were gone. Sorry, I should have told you that.
Did you? Okay. No, that's perfect. That's
my
perfect.
My apologies,
Matt. No, that's great. That's great. I'll go back and listen to it, and I'll learn about what's coming new. Excellent. So with the – we've heard through the years, specifically about developing for Android, that – sometimes Android, with as many different devices are out there, as many different versions of Android are out there, that Android sometimes can be a pain in the butt to develop for. what are some of those challenges you think that, you know, maybe you've run into or you've seen, you know, building Android apps?
So, you know, you've touched on one, which is the fragmentation of the framework. you know, for instance, if you want to move forward to the latest operating system, we have to make sure we use compatibility libraries, and we have to spend a lot of time testing on different devices, you know, past mm-hmm. and present devices, which feature we want, which feature we don't want, we can't really work well within a certain OS version. So that's really, for us, that's really the main thing. The other thing on Android is also, Android is pretty much resource constrained when it comes to memory. You have to be, this is where you have to have top engineers. You know, working on Android requires certain computer science skill, for instance. You have to fit your program in the memory space allocated to you. You have to make sure backwards compatible. You have to make sure the garbage collector, you know, doesn't get triggered that too often. You know, there's a lot of technicalities that, unless you're a really solid engineer, you know, programming on Android is fun. You know, the framework is fun. Android Studio is, I think it's amazing. And I really like what Google has done with Android so far.
Yeah, so what, what do you like about working with Android? What's some of the positives?
So, you know, number one, I like the programming language is Java. You know, it's more natural. Remember coming from Microsoft, I was, you know, really into C Sharp and C++, and so Java for me, it's fine. I like the tool set. I like the fact that we talk about fragmentation, but there's a lot of devices too. So it's really easy to have a program like the weather app, for instance, and it's really, really rewarding because you see your friends, your family, they have different Android devices, and they have the weather application, and no matter what type of the device they're using, they can actually use your application. And that's really, for me, that's, you know, that's really rewarding and satisfying.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and like you said, it really, it pushes developers, and it, you know, puts an importance on the people, you know, that Yahoo is selecting to work on the Android apps. So
exactly.
Well, Stefan, you mentioned the Yahoo Weather app is probably your favorite app. What are some of your other, you know, favorite apps that you use?
So Yahoo Weather is really my favorite. And the other one I have that I use every time, especially when I drive, is Shazam. So yeah. Yahoo Weather is my favorite, and then I use Shazam.
Yeah, yeah. What phone do you use?
Actually, so that's an interesting question because I use a Nexus 5, but I think, you know, Google has made. I'm really grateful for all the work Google has done creating a good line of Nexus devices. You know, I started with the Nexus 1. Actually, my first device was the G1. And then I moved on to Nexus 1. And then I keep buying the new Nexus devices. So now I have Nexus 5. I'm contemplating getting Nexus 6. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, that's a big jump. The Nexus 6 is it's just a much larger device. So, yeah, it's a big change. So
you like my Nexus 5, though.
Oh, say again?
I really like my Nexus 5.
Yes. Oh, it's a fantastic device. When Google announced the Nexus 6, I don't know how many Android, especially Nexus lovers that I talked to that wanted the updated hardware, but in the same Nexus 5 package. Updated specs.
Yeah. And there's still plenty of rumors for Nexus 5 2015 going on, too, so... I'm not surprised.
Well, whatever it's going to be, I think it's going to be a good device. So,
absolutely, absolutely. So I guess back to the Yahoo Weather app just a little bit. For me specifically with Android Wear, but do you guys have any plans to bring any of that functionality to Android Wear or even to, you know, like Android Auto? Or Android TV?
So, you know, I can't really share any details of our roadmap. However, we, you know, we're deeply committed in providing the best-in-class user experience. And, you know, we always look at the current technology, how we can utilize technology to benefit our user. So let's leave it as that.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair, absolutely. That's fair. I had to ask, though. So.
I know it's the question everybody's like, Android Wear, smartwatch.
Well, and particularly for me, I'm interested to see where Android Auto goes. You know, for an app like Yahoo Weather, having that in your vehicle, easily accessible, I think would be really helpful, you know? So that's one of those kind of like must-have apps for me in the car. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you're on a road trip or you're traveling somewhere, so.
I understand.
So what, I guess last question here for what we had kind of pre-planned a little bit. What, kind of looking forward into the future, you know, you're a big fan of Nexus devices and what Android, what Google is doing with Android. What are some of the things you would like to see incorporated into Android, whether it's features or whatever?
Sure. So number one, I think with the Lollipop release, Google has done a tremendous job. I'm a big fan of Android 5.0. And, you know, as mentioned earlier, I don't know if you got cut off when we discussed this, you know, with Nick, it's, you know, the challenge is the fragmentation. And, you know, Google has been making major strides to make sure the adoption rate is accelerated. And, you know, when you look at Google I/O from 2014, I think Google pulled, you know, showcased a lot of good things, such as a new development environment, a new animation, new UI, you know. And so I'm looking forward to this Google I/O to see what they have in store. It's going to be a blast. I really like Google I/O, so looking forward to it.
Yeah, yeah, that was announced this week. The dates on that, May 28th and 29th. Yep. So excellent, excellent, yeah. We're excited about it too. Nick, any questions, man? Anything else that that you wanted to ask Stefan?
I think I popped my one extra one in there, so I'm good with the list that we had.
Good, good. No, I'm glad you were ready with you know, it's always good to be prepared. So excellent, excellent. Well, Stefan, I do want to thank you very much for your time this evening. I know it's dinner time on the West Coast where you are, so we'll let you get get home and get settled for the evening. But thank you so much for coming on the show with us and talking to us about some of the great things that Yahoo's doing.
Thank you very much for having me again, and it was a really phenomenal experience. I hope your listeners, you know, got what they wanted. You guys got what you wanted. And again, you know, the weather app, use the app, put the widget on your home screen, and send us feedback. It's a really great app, as you mentioned. Use it, send us feedback. It's use the widget is amazing. So
we will. Thanks so much. You have a great evening.
You too. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So that is the definitive Stefan Karubi interview. So we've had a couple of Yahoo Weather or Yahoo, you know, app folks on the show. JBQ was, what, 3 months ago now?
Sounds about right.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And then Will Choi from AV8 last month? Was that in December?
I want to say that was December. I don't think it was last month.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So, but yeah, it's been a blast. I promise Yahoo's not paying us to promote their stuff. We're always asking, you know, we're always floating out requests to have guests on the show. And I gotta, you know, both Uzma and Anna are some of the people we've been working with at Yahoo. They've been really good about connecting us with some of their developers to talk about the great stuff that Yahoo's doing with Android. So we'll make a hard break, kind of pivot. There's a couple of news things that we wanted to talk about. One of them was, we already mentioned, was Google I/O. So that was announced. The dates on that are May 28th and 29th. And that was a little, it was kind of funny because there was a rumor of some dates in June. And then like a couple hours later, it popped up that it was going to be May 28th and 29th. Yeah, at San Francisco, you know, in San Francisco where it usually is. So official dates on that. We haven't seen anything as far as a schedule or, you know, we see every year all of the different sessions so we can kind of get a feel for what is going to happen. And we don't have any kind of details on that stuff yet. Just a Google Plus post from Sundar Pichai with the dates. I'm pulling up the website right now, and there's nothing. So be on the lookout for that when registration opens up. It'll sell out quickly. Registration actually is going to open on March 17th. At 9 a.m. Pacific time, and it'll remain open through March 19th at 5 p.m. Pacific time. Once you register, they're doing, just like they did last year, a lottery. So, oh great, Nick says my video's cut out.
No, you're good. Google. It's fine now.
Is it back?
As soon as I say that it cuts out, I don't know. Forget it. It's probably my end. Don't worry about it.
Man, Hangouts is just in rare
it's
form.
It's not happy tonight, that's for sure.
I feel like we'll go 3 or 4 episodes and everything's okay, and then Hangouts just takes a big poop one night.
Yeah, we get one night where it's not going so well. I was gonna say that Google I/O website is sweet, though. Did you look at that thing?
Yeah, I'm actually on it now. That's how I was looking up the registration information.
It's like material design heaven.
Yep. Yeah, all the little animations when you mouse over stuff.
It's just stuff everywhere. It's really, really, really nice looking. So if you don't feel like going to I/O, just go to the site for, 2 minutes just to get some eye candy.
Yep. And I'm sure that stuff will be – a lot of that stuff will be we streamed live. So because they're doing a lottery like they did last year, it's going to be it's not going to be like the mad rush to get tickets, and it's not going to sell out right away. It also means that there's a lot of people that may not get in because it's a random drawing, right? But
yep. And they did a great live stream last year, so hopefully it is the same.
Yeah, I know Justin went last year, right? Was it Justin that went? Yeah, so we'll have somebody on site, at least one person this year, assuming we can get a ticket with the little drawing. So
lottery's a lottery, right?
Yep. What else new stuff came out? Oh, so Alex is not here tonight because he is in that event's in San Francisco, right?
Yes,
he's in San Francisco for the Xiaomi event. They announced no new devices or anything, although he did get a Mi Note to review, and he got some hands-on time with some other devices too. But they announced that they're bringing the Mi.com, so Mi.com website, to the U.S., basically just selling their accessories because they're not releasing any phones or tablets in the U.S. right now. But Xiaomi is at least dipping its toes into U.S. waters. There's been some discussion in the last week or two about some of the patent trouble that Xiaomi might get in when they release their devices, because some of that stuff is looks a lot like iOS devices as far as the hardware is concerned.
I'm very, very familiar with their stuff.
Yeah, so it might be a problem, and that might be why they're not releasing their hardware. But there was some other hardware stuff this week, Nick, with the Snapdragon 810 that you were looking at today. So talk to us about that.
All right, so I don't want to go into too much detail about this because I didn't really care for the way Anantech did the it's not even a review, it's like a performance preview, but it's a good look at how the 810, which is Qualcomm's upcoming chip, if you are not aware, how the 810 performs against other stuff on the market. So what I thought was confusing here was, if you just look at the article real quick, and, you know, I was at work during the day, I didn't have a whole lot of time to read the thing, I just looked at the graphs. Looking at the graphs, it makes you think the 810 is a piece of crap. Like, it's pretty much at the bottom of the charts on a lot of like memory latency and that sort of thing. Overall performance, the CPU looks like it is just really a dog. For the most part, it kind of feels, just looking at the charts, like it's just the GPU that has gotten any kind of significant increase in performance. And then I went back later and I started reading the article and realized, oh, this is running off the reference tablet, which is a 4K display on the tablet. And it's still keeping up with pretty much everything, even if it is a little bit behind in some tasks. So you're talking literally, you know, multiple times the resolution of most of these other phones or tablets that it's going up against, and it's still holding its own. So it's not top tier because of that, but I guarantee you, if you stick it in, I would say, a normal device, like we're going to have pretty much the whole year, you know, either 1080p or quad HD displays, it's probably going to smoke everything. So I would love to see that test redone with more, I guess, normal resolutions for this year. I'm not sure how many 4K anything we're going to get running in 810 this year.
Right. Well, and that's looking, so that was my initial reaction too. Looking at some of the charts and that they had listed there, I was like, this thing is a step back performance-wise. But the more I got to thinking about it, and then you mentioned that it was a reference tablet. So it's a brand new chip. This, any kind of software or benchmarking tests that are being run, nothing's been optimized for the hardware yet. So, you know, don't worry about it. You know, AnandTech is really great about running all these tests and that kind of, you know.
Yes. Yeah, and maybe, I love...
Good.
I was just going to say, I love all of AnandTech's really in-depth stuff. So, you know, I you know, that's usually where I go for all this in-depth kind of stuff. I just, initial thoughts were like, holy crap, what the heck did Qualcomm do?
Yep. And AnandTech did, they labeled it as a Snapdragon 810 preview. It's not a final review, obviously, because there's the hardware and software, nothing's been finalized. So it is just a preview, just a quick look at it.
Yep, and they had those little preview, like reference devices, the same kind of thing in CES. There was no hands-on, unfortunately, which I would have loved to have been able to do. They basically sat there in a little stand with something on the TV showing off, you know, the network capabilities or whatever of it. I think the other interesting thing that I won't go on too much of a tangent with on the AnandTech thing was how much the Tegra just destroys everything on the market in performance. And yet it struggles so hard in everyday tasks. Like, I know on the Nexus 9, that thing was constantly number one or number two, only with the Shield tablet pretty much beating it here or there, depending on the test. And then, you know, there's the possibility we had the announcement of an announcement against this week, which companies love to do now, where NVIDIA is going to be showing off most likely their next Shield tablet at Mobile World Congress on March 3rd, which will probably be powered by the Tegra X1, which, as we saw at CES, is like a million times more powerful than the K1. So,
yes,
this will be very interesting to see if they get better optimization in Android than they have in the past, because they are all gaming and seemingly nothing else.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate, man. Because it performs so well in benchmarks and in with gaming with high quality graphics, but then you know, they can't come through anywhere else. Yep. And part of that, I'm sure, is just because Qualcomm's got such a foothold.
Yeah, and that's what I was thinking too.
So yeah, it will be interesting.
It's almost tempting to wish for Qualcomm to drop the ball this year, just so that somebody else can step up and, you know, shake the market up a little bit, just because Qualcomm has dominated for so many years.
Yeah, and until they release a chip that is essentially garbage, you know, and turns people off, they're going to stay there because they've been making great stuff.
Yeah, no, they have. Yeah, absolutely.
So what else? There's some other news stuff this week. OnePlus announced the Oxygen OS 2 weeks ago, because we talked about that briefly last week.
Correct.
We got some more details on it this week. You want to talk about that real quick, too, just
I have not had a lot of time to read up on that, but the one thing that I took away from today's announcement is that they have grabbed a whole bunch of people from the industry, including, I don't know if you're familiar, Carlo, I hate to butcher his name, I think it's Savigno, I don't know, I'm sure I butchered it, but he's from the Paranoid Android team, and he's on board for Oxygen OS. There's a whole bunch of other people in this industry that are, you know, either well-known names or in well-known corners of the industry that are working on this thing. So I was already excited about it before. Now I'm really excited. And they released the boot animation, which is super, super slick. And I think in general it's going to be really interesting to see what they pull out of this, especially if those leaked screenshots turn out to be any kind of true, because it's a very unique style.
Yep. Yeah, that'll be something to keep an eye on. They did say that the Oxygen OS is not coming to any other devices except OnePlus devices.
Yeah.
So at least not officially. You know, it'll end up as a ROM if you want to flash it on your device.
Yeah, after all, it's a Snapdragon 801 device, which, you know, how many dozens of devices have that thing? Plenty. Or I'm sure it can be ported to any of the other stuff, 805, whatever. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's essentially a stock, you know, skinned ROM, just like CM11. So, if you want more details on that, you know, head over to the site and check that out. I don't think there was anything else big this week that I wanted to mention. Obviously, our time tonight was mostly talking with Stefan, so. That was the important bit. I'm not seeing too much else. So I think that'll do it. That'll wrap us up for the Android Headline Show, episode 95. As always, you can find us on Google+, on Twitter, at Android Headline, without the S. We're on Instagram, also at Android Headline, without the S. Go check us out on Instagram, because Nick and I are putting up new stuff all the time anytime we get review units in, and I know Alex put a bunch of Xiaomi stuff today, some of the hands-on and devices and stuff that he got, so check us out there. Facebook, obviously. Whatever you want to hear, if there's somebody specific you'd like us to reach out to try and get on the show, let us know. We will absolutely try and make that happen for you. But Nick, thanks for hanging out tonight, man. It was great talking with you, as always.
Absolutely.